Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast. My name's Jake, and today I am joined by Adam. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, mate.
Good, good. And we're also joined by Billy. Billy, how's it going?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. As you can probably see, I'm sporting the Movember sash, going for the 80s footballer, or as Billy put it, the 60s paedophile. So, yeah, we are still doing Movember, guys. So if you want to donate and come and watch our progress, not just on mustaches, but our run walk challenge, head over to our Facebook, our Twitter or Instagram or our website. All the details are available there. If you want to donate, please feel free, and it'd be greatly appreciated, because the money's going to some really worthy causes, and it's something that we're all quite passionate about. But lads, Billy, going to something you're quite passionate about, Aston Villa have just confirmed, well, not just confirmed, but they've confirmed that Steven Gerrard is your new manager. Firstly, Billy, I know when the news sort of came out that Gerrard was linked, you were a bit skeptical about it, but yeah. You seem fully have done a U-turn now and you're all aboard the Gerrard bus. So firstly, how are you feeling about Gerrard as the manager?
Yeah, now I'm really looking forward to it. I'm absolutely buzzing. I can't wait to kind of see this new manager bounce, if you like. Hopefully we'll get the new manager bounce anyway. Mm. But yeah, when Dean Smith was obviously sacked, I think it was last Sunday, it first came as a bit of a shock, but also it needed to happen. And then the question begs, well, who's going to come in? You both know who I fancied. I really wanted Graham Potter, although extremely unlikely. But yeah, I was very, very sceptical of the John Terry rumours, the Frank Lampard, the Steven Gerrard, just because it is like such a big risk. Mm-hmm. However, after doing my research and reading Twitter and all these articles and things that people are doing, I'm fully on board now. I've completely done a U-turn. He just looks like he's really got his head screwed on, surrounded himself with some real good guys and real good coaches as well. Michael Beale especially is supposed to be a red hot, really sought after coach. Gary McAllister knows Aston Villa from his playing days. He knows what we're about. We expect as a club. And I'm sure Steven Gerrard knows what we expect as fans as well. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it now.
There we go. Looking forward to it. I agree with you, Billy. I think that Gerrard's done a great job of surrounding himself by people that not only he trusts, but he knows that they know what they're doing. You know, Gary McAllister was a massive, massive advisor for Gerrard in his early playing days. And when Gary Mack was at Liverpool, Gerrard speaks very highly about him. And, you know, you can tell that trust has continued into his coaching career as well. And like you said, Michael Beale, he's very good. I remember him leaving Liverpool. There was a lot of people were sort of you know, questioning where he was going to go, and you know, following Gerrard was a big thing for him. Adam, how do you think the Gerrard to Villa move is going to go? Do you think that it's going to be a good thing for Gerrard and Villa, or do you think, you know, it could go down, you know, the opposite route?
Obviously, there's a risk with it. It's Gerrard's first time coming into the Premier League as a manager. There's always going to be a risk there. But I think, as previously mentioned to I think both of you have said it, I do see this going really well. Yeah. I think Villa have got a few players that Gerrard could really get the best out of. I highlighted John McGinn the other day, and I think the young is it Jacob Ramsey?
Jacob Ramsey.
I think he's another one that would, he seems like the kind of player that would really flourish under Gerrard's sort of style of play. Like, you look what he has done with Rangers and the type of players that he just elevated massively in terms of performances. And I think Villa have got a few of them. They've also got Leon Bailey, who you can see there's bags and bags of talent there. He's just sort of waiting for that, I guess, that push to take him up to that next level. I think Gerrard, firstly, the sort of respect that he commands, and yeah, secondly, that, you know, just the fact that the players will listen to him and actually do what he tells them to do. I think there's so much potential in this Villa squad for them to all sort of kick on a gear, go up a gear, should Gerrard obviously get them being able to do that. On the flip side, I do think there's a few players in there that Gerrard will definitely want out the door pretty much straight away. Is it, I'm trying to think of their name, is it El Ghazi? Is that how you
El Ghazi,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be gone straight away. He'll be gone.
He's someone I want out the door as well.
I think provided Villa have given Gerrard sort of their word that they're going to back him with the trust that, you know, he knows sort of what players he might want to bring in and keep around and then obviously get out the door. As long as Gerrard's got those assurances, which I'm pretty sure he will have done, then I do think he'll do well. I think there's bags of potential with this squad, like I said.
Yeah, I agree. I think I read something earlier actually that says that Gerrard's been told that he's got a bit of money to spend in January, which I think is good. It's, you know, there's no point bringing in a manager and then not giving him any money to spend to make the squad his own. But I think that you probably won't see a lot of business done in January. We all know what the window's like. It's a crazy sort of window. I think we'll probably find out what it is like in the summer as well. So I think that'll be the key one for Villa, is the summer, and this will just be a feeling out process. I just hope it doesn't turn into a classic thing, you know, with football fans turn so fickle, don't they, if it doesn't work straight away. They'll get rid of him, get another one in. And Villa, like, your history of managers, like, I was reading it the other day, it's absolutely I didn't realise how crazy, like, you actually went through managers. It seemed like Dean Smith had been there forever, but then you burn through them, so you just just need to give one a bit of time. You know, look what happened with Dean Smith. He got you in the league and he sort of stabilised you as a good mid-table side, and that's really what you need. And hopefully Gerrard will be the one to push on. Billy, what's the aim for Aston Villa now, being a Villa fan? What is the, you know, it's the aim, obviously, is always to win the league, but realistically, what is Aston Villa's aim over the next sort of 2 or 3 years?
I think the aim is really to push on and get European football now. The owners have shown with Dean Smith that they're not afraid to spend money. We've spent £300,000, I think, just since coming back into the Premier League. £300 million, sorry.
Not a lot, then.
But yeah, with Steven Gerrard, I'm certain that that will continue. And one thing that I'm certain that Gerrard will be able to sort out is the midfield. We've been so easy to play through. That just, it's so strange because we've got such a good midfield with the likes of John McGinn and Douglas Luiz, but we've just been so easy to play through. And I think that's something that Steven Gerrard will be certain to sort out fairly quickly. But yeah, getting back to your original point, is I think he'll, the aim for Villa now is European football over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. I think that's a good, you made a good point there, Billy, about not being quite as open to play against. And I think we've seen that with Rangers' title winning season. I think they only conceded, I don't know, 15 goals or something like that. And obviously they went unbeaten, but they scored like 97 goals and they conceded 15. So, you know, he has got a distinct style of play, and he'll know how he'll want to play football, and he'll want those players to get on board with him. And I think the good thing with getting someone like Steven Gerrard in is the respect, it's immediately there. You know,
he's absolutely an
ex-England captain, Champions League winning captain, Liverpool captain, you know, and he's gone to Rangers. He's won the title. He's wrestled that title away from Celtic. So he's shown those players, you know, I do know what I am talking about. And, you know, like you said earlier, Billy, his backroom staff will, they'll have the respect from those players as well. So I hope he does a good job at Villa. I hope it doesn't turn into a Lampard situation Solskjaer, who were both of those we're going to talk about shortly. But I do hope he does a decent job at Villa. And as long as he doesn't take too many points off Liverpool, I'll be very happy with that.
I think another thing with Gerrard is that he won't take any shit from anybody.
Yeah.
I think we saw it against Southampton. El Ghazi, who Adam mentioned earlier, he should have been sent off. He should have had three bookings, somehow stayed on the pitch. Two of those came. I mean, he should have been sent off after 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And somehow he managed to stay on the pitch for another 50. You know, I feel like Dean Smith sometimes may have been a bit too nice to the players, where I feel like if that's Gerrard, he's pulling him in at half time, getting him by the scruff of the neck and telling him you're not going out for the second half.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Gerrard will bring, as well as the commanding respect that he needs, kind of thing. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. I get your point. And he's always come across that way for me when he was Liverpool captain, that he's not afraid to have a go at anybody. You know, Torres, Suarez, you know, Carragher, he'll happily give it back if they give him it. So I think he'll do the exact same as a manager. Adam, how do you think in 2 or 3 years we'll be talking about Gerrard at Villa? Will he still still be there, or be, you know, how do you think he'll be doing if he is?
If he is still there, because I think, as I said, if I was a Villa fan, I think my concern would just be if/when Jurgen Klopp leaves Liverpool. Is Gerrard going to be the guy that Liverpool look to replace him? And I'm not saying that he should be necessarily. Just what I mean by that is, because of the emotional connection that Liverpool fans have to Jurgen Klopp, we see him as like a godfather pretty much. to replace that sort of character, there's not really another manager that you get the same emotional connection with from a Liverpool fan point of view. So it's just whether Liverpool look to try and poach him, and if Liverpool do come knocking, of course he's going to go there. So on provided that he is there in sort of 3 years' time, as Billy said, look, the aim is going to be to get European football, whether that is the Europa League or even the Conference League. And I think within, given a good 3 years, I genuinely believe that they can be there. As I've said before, there's bags of potential within this squad alone. Aston Villa, don't forget, they are a very, very rich club. You know, they have the finances to go and spend in the transfer market, especially if they start to climb up the table and Gerrard demands maybe $100 million or $150 million, whatever it may be. He's going to be given that money to go and spend, and provided he spends it well. And from the short budget that he did have at Rangers, he spent that incredibly well as well.
Yeah,
I don't see why they can't be looking to get at least in the Europa Conference League within the next sort of 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think, you know, this season it'll be consolidation, try and get as far up that table as possible. But after that, I agree with you, Adam. I think the Conference League or the Europa League have got to be long term aims for Villa. You know, you don't want to be one of those mid-table clubs that just sort of sticks around 10th, because they eventually always do. They'll always slide. Look at Southampton, they did that for years. They're happy to be a sort of 10th, 9th club, and now they're in a relegation battle. It does just happen because your players get poached, and the only way to keep your players is to keep improving and get into Europe. So hopefully it will work out for Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa.
I just wanted to touch on quickly Adam's point about Gerrard potentially going to Liverpool in 2 or 3 years. And I think, I mean, we all know what gentlemen's agreements are like, but I think there will be that gentleman's agreement in there that if he's still at the club and Liverpool come calling in 2.5, 3 years, whenever Klopp decides to leave, if he decides to leave, I think
hopefully we won't.
That's the dream. I don't think we will stand in his way. And if Liverpool come calling, it means he's done a good job at Villa anyway, projecting us into Europe, putting us on a higher mantle than we are currently. So we're going to be looking at more ambitious managers then as well, you know?
Yeah.
So if he does go to Liverpool in 2 or 3 years, obviously it will be gutting at the time. Hopefully it will be gutting.
Yeah.
But yeah, he must have done a good job with us. So be it. You know what I mean?
That's a good point, Billy. The only reason Liverpool come calling for Steven Gerrard is if he's doing a good job. We're not going to go from Jurgen Klopp to Gerrard if he's in a relegation battle for the next 3 years. That's just a backward step for Liverpool as well, because it's not what you need, a manager who's, you know, having to do that every week. Speaking of managers of ex-clubs that they played for, Frank Lampard, lads, has turned down the Norwich job. I mean, personally, I can't blame him. It's a job I don't think anyone would really want at the moment. But Billy, your former manager, Dean Smith, is also linked to the job. Firstly, do you think it's wise for Lampard to be turning down a job? And secondly, now he has, do you think Dean Smith is in the running for that job?
In my opinion, Dean Smith's the best candidate for the job anyway. I think with him, they stand the best chance of staying up. If they go down, I think they stand the best chance of coming straight back up. Mm-hmm. With Dean Smith in charge. Lampard, I'm not really too sure. Maybe he's waiting for example, an Everton job, that kind of club, if you know what I'm, do you know what I'm trying to say? A mid-table club to try and push them into Europe, a bit similar to Villa, maybe. Yeah, I'm not too sure why he's turned that down. Maybe he is looking for that mid-table club. But for Dean Smith, I think as a fan, it would feel a bit too soon. But I would completely understand it. And I think I think Norwich fans aren't too happy with it for some reason. But I think in my opinion, he is the best candidate out there to not only keep them up, but to send them back up if they should go down.
Yeah, I think... Go on, Adam.
Sorry, just to piggyback on that, I think that's the important bit is if/when Norwich go down, because let's face it, they probably are going to go down no matter who they employ.
Yeah.
The pressure on that coach to then bring them back up the next season will be through the roof. And I think that might, not necessarily saying that's the reason Lampard turned it down, but I certainly think that's a factor that he played out in his head. Just the sheer amount of pressure that will be on him to come straight back up as soon as they do go down.
Yeah.
And we've seen Lampard both at Derby and at Chelsea crumble in those high pressure sort of situations, and it hasn't, obviously his managerial start hasn't really gone to plan thus far. So I think Norwich, just in terms of how much pressure will be on him in that second season, I think it's maybe too big a job for him. Like maybe in Everton does suit Lampard a little bit more, where there's that little bit more freedom. But yeah, I completely agree with the Dean Smith shout. I think, as I said, I think whoever they do employ, I think Norwich are doomed to go down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in terms of coming straight back into the league, I think Dean Smith is the best shout.
Yeah, it was a point that I was going to say as well. I agree both of your points about the next manager is going to have to bring them up. That is the thing. I think a lot of Norwich fans were a bit pissed off with Fart going, because they knew that he would be able to. He's done it in the past. Yeah. It's a thing that happens
twice in the past.
He's done it. He does it all the time. Yeah, it's just the Norwich way, isn't it? You go down, you come straight back up, and it's a vicious cycle. So that next manager has to be able to keep that going, because you know that's sort of expected now at Norwich. Is we'll go down and then we'll have a great season in the Championship, finish top of the league, and you know, break 100 point barriers or 97 points or however many they got, and then we'll get 5 points in the league and come back down again. But so I agree with you. I do think that's potentially why Lampard's looked at that job and gone, actually, that's a bit of a it is a bit of a dodgy job to get, because there is that expectation to come straight back up. But I agree with you both. I think Dean Smith is
the pressures of a relegation battle as well. You know, Dean Smith's been there, he's done that. He's the great escape in that first season back.
I almost think
seven points with three games to go. It was almost impossible, but somehow we managed.
I almost think that. You know, this season it is a write-off now for Norwich. I know they won the other week, but a manager coming in, they've got to say to them, you know, forget about it, we'll start again next year. And I think Dean Smith is the one for that. He's got the experience. Not, you know, if he did come in and they did turn their fortunes around, then like you said, Billy, he's got the experience of a relegation battle. He's got the experience of getting out from the Championship. You know, he is a very good manager as well. You know, he's got a very nice, a good style of play, but I don't know who Norwich go for if he turns him down. Do you know who else is out there for Norwich who would want that Norwich job? Neil Warnock, he probably wouldn't want to get another job. You know, that's sort of the thing now. It's,
I mean, Jed won't be happy with this, but Mark Robbins from Coventry, maybe.
It's a great shout. It is a good shout. Jed will be fuming at that shout. You know, he's a manager they potentially would look at, though, and would he, you know, leave the job that he's doing at Cov to go to Norwich? Maybe, you know, if the opportunity is there.
He's got a decent project going on there. And
that's it, you know, the project.
It's whether he would want to leave that and potentially do a swap with Norwich as they go down, Cov go up.
Cov go up, yeah. That's the risk now, isn't
Christ,
it?
Could you imagine, Jed, if that happened?
<He'd be> unbearable. To be fair, I think we'd have to let him be a bit unbearable for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He can come and sit at the big table for once, bless him. But no, I do struggle to wonder who Norwich would look at if Dean Smith turned them down as well. Potentially the next man we're going to talk about who somehow is still in the job, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I know we sort of feel like we're talking about it every week, but the question now, lads, is, you know, how long is Ole at the wheel for? I think a few of us sort of expected, but thought that Ole might go at the start of the international break, quite simply because you gave United 2 or 3 weeks to find a manager and get someone in. A bit like Villa did, you know, get rid of the manager. International break. He's got 2 weeks to settle in when no one's really there, and he can have a look around and work with the players that he's got. And, you know, Adam, I'll come to you. How long has Ole got at the wheel now at Manchester United after another defeat, you know, in a derby, which, you know, the scoreline didn't suggest it was the same as the Liverpool game, but, you know, anyone watching the game, it was the exact same. United were absolutely atrocious, and Man City tore them to pieces. You know, so what do you think, Adam? Does Ole stay till the end of the season now? Does he go in January? You know, what's the thought process?
I think a lot of Man United fans will be scratching their heads at how he hasn't gone already. I don't think no matter who you are, like, you can't get battered by two of your biggest rivals in the manner that they have. It's obviously not just that. Like, they lost at home to Villa. They got thumped by Leicester a few weeks prior to Liverpool as well. But, you know, like, this is what I mean. I mean, you know, Villa are in a bad sort of, I guess, run of form. That's why they've looked to switch the managers, but they still beat Man United at Old Trafford. You know, it almost seems like the more talent that he gets in that squad, the worse they become.
It does, yeah.
But this is the thing, and this is the flip side to it. The fact that he's gone through what he's gone through and he still hasn't been sacked, there's not even really any signs of them even looking for a new... You know, Conte was right there pretty much asking for the job. He's now ended up at Tottenham. You know, so what have they said to him, or what has the interaction been between them for Conte to be like, all right, I'm not going to even bother waiting around for this. I'm just going to go to Tottenham instead. They like, the Man United board must be pretty content, at least. Like, I think as long as Man United get top four, and I think they still probably will, just because of the individuals alone, I think that's enough for them. So I think he should be gone. But I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he gets till the end of the season. And if they're in the top four, he'll probably get another year.
Do you know what, Adam? I think I personally think that they will not sack him till the summer, if they sack him at all.
Mm.
I think that the summer is where they'll look to get rid of him. But Lee made a good point, Adam. The more talent that Solskjaer adds to this squad, like it almost shows how, you know, lacking he is in that managerial department, because he's getting in Ronaldo, he's getting in Sancho, you know, to add to Fernandes, Rashford, you know, Varane. Like, this is squads that on paper would realistically rip this league to pieces if it wanted to. You know, under the right manager, that, you know, that squad, give or take the back four, maybe, and a midfielder, you know, would realistically challenge anybody. And
but a good manager would have sorted that problem as well.
Well, yeah, there is that as well. You know, a good manager wouldn't have spent 75 million on Sancho and potentially sent him into a right back. as you know, we're potentially reading that United are looking to do is to go to a back five and employ Sancho as a right wing back, which if they do that, then I think there might be another riot at Old Trafford. But I think I'm all for it personally. But Billy, what are your thoughts on Solskjaer? Do you think he'll go anytime soon? Do you think they'll hold out and wait till the summer to get rid of him?
I really have no idea. And I don't think the United board have any idea either.
Does Ollie have an idea?
I don't think he does, no. I think it just rings alarm bells when your two biggest rivals are both singing Ollie at the wheel while comfortably being ahead. Yeah. Like, they're both singing that they want your manager to stay in a job. Yeah. Like, that should be happening no matter what level you're playing at, let alone elite Premier League level. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, it's such a strange one because I think any other manager, and get rid of his legend status at Man United, he'd have been gone a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just don't understand why. Look, there's no sentiment in football. It's why Dean Smith had to go so soon.
Mm.
And it's why Ollie should be going as well. But I mean, if the United board are happy to keep him, so be it.
No, I agree with you. I think that if, like you said, Billy, if, you know, if Solskjaer wasn't the man that won them a Champions League in the 90s, then he'd well been gone. Chelsea did it with Lampard, you know. They're quite happy to get rid of him. You know, look what Frank Lampard did for Chelsea and how good of a footballer he was and how much of a legend he is there. But they looked at that and went, this isn't working. You're not as good a manager as we thought you were going to be, and this hasn't having the effect that we thought it was going to have. Get rid of you and we'll get someone else.
I think the thing with Lampard at Chelsea was that they were also under a transfer embargo, so it was almost like a win-win.
He was a stakeholder manager, wasn't
he? It was like a win-win for Lampard. If he failed, then so be it. He couldn't sign anyone.
Yeah.
If he was success, then fantastic.
He's a good gaffer. He's a
success.
Yeah.
And you saw the players that he bought in didn't really work out how they wanted it to. And so, yeah, they had to bite the bullet and they got rid of him. There just isn't any room for sentiment in football, and especially for managers as well.
Yeah, because I agree with you. I think that's one of those areas where you can't be sentimental with a manager, because you look what's sort of happening. You know, they're slowly drifting down this table, and you know, like you say, everyone's laughing at them, and that's not the Manchester United that we've all grown up with. You know, we're all of that era where United were winning everything as we were kids and teenagers, and it was shit to be a Liverpool fan because you were happy to come third, but now it's going the other way, where there's generation of Man United fans growing up going, hang on, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And the old fans that are used to winning are kicking off because, you know, what's going on? But something's got to change at them. But I don't know, hopefully it's not for a while yet as a Liverpool fan. But I don't know. Who would they get in? Is one I want to ask you, Billy and Adam. Billy, I'll start with you. Who goes to United? If they got rid of him, say, tomorrow, Who would they realistically go for?
I think they've got to be looking at a Zidane or a Ten Hag, that kind of manager. I think Ten Hag would be a fantastic appointment for them. He's that project manager, if you know what I mean.
He's good. He's a good manager as well. Yeah.
He's a fantastic manager, and you just need to see what he's done with Ajax, not only over there in Holland, but in the Champions League as well. It's not easy to
a very good side in that Champions League.
Exactly. It's not easy to get a team like I don't want to belittle Ajax because they're a massive, massive club, but they are constantly playing in the Dutch league, obviously.
Hmm.
And it is hard for them to keep hold of players. You see, they ship out so many players. They're a fantastic youth, but they're also shipping out players like there's no tomorrow. And for Ten Hag to do such a good job as he's doing for them, getting them to a Champions League semi-final, very unlucky to not get them to the final.
Yeah.
It just shows what a fantastic job he's done there. And I think they're unbeaten in the Champions League so far this season. He's doing a fantastic job there. So I think it'd be a great appointment for any club. And it certainly wouldn't surprise me if he's kind of holding out for that Man United job.
Adam, who would you... If you were the Man United board, who would you look at?
I think with Ten Hag, he's probably the best option for them again. But I'm just wondering if that relationship between Man United and Ajax is slightly tarnished just over the Donny van de Beek situation. I know we've had a lot of there's been a lot of the back sort of backroom staff from Ajax coming out and making their feelings known. I think Edwin van der Sar was somebody else that came out, and he was really angry about the situation. And loads of Dutch fans as well are sort of just so angry at Man United for how they've treated van der Beek. Because, look, Billy correctly said how Ajax, they just sell their players, but that is like their model, and they seem to be very proud of that. You know, if one of their players does get a move to a Barcelona, a Man United, a Liverpool, a Real Madrid, whoever it may be, they sort of see that as being like a really big achievement. They're really proud of that player for going on and playing.
They support that player,
these giant
that's
clubs.
What they do.
Yeah. So I think after that situation, I'm just not sure if he'd maybe want it. I know it's still probably one of the biggest jobs in world football, so I could be being stupid there, as he will be my ideal replacement for Jurgen Klopp once he moves on. So I'm hoping he doesn't end up at United. But I think realistically, I think, again, another project manager that would suit Man United down to the ground is Mauricio Pochettino. And they've tried their hand with him before. They were obviously unsuccessful in getting him. But look, there's sort of rumours and talks that he's under a lot of pressure at PSG. He's not particularly enjoying his time there. I think there's a lot said that he doesn't seem to have a lot of control over what actually goes on in terms of both transfers and how the teams actually run. It's said that a lot of the players sort of control that team and who plays. And it's partly, apparently, one of the reasons why Wijnaldum isn't getting as much game time, because the sort of South American players in the team are sort of campaigning and demanding that Paredes plays over him.
Mm.
Well, if Mauricio Pochettino's got control, surely that decision's up to him, not the players. He is somebody that again, I think would suit Man United down to the ground. He's that project manager. I think people underrate Pochettino just because of his lack of trophies. But what he did under Tottenham Hotspur, he got Tottenham Hotspur to a Champions League final. do you know how crazy that is? They will never see that again in their lifetime, most of these Tottenham fans.
I agree. That's vastly overlooked how much of an achievement that actually is, by the way. Because look what's happened to Tottenham since he's left. They're terrible, and it's the same team. Yeah.
It's a better team.
Arguably, you could imagine.
They've just gone downhill.
But they're just, I think it makes caveat slightly. I think that's a stupid thing for Tottenham to do, was to sack Pochettino in the first place. That's another episode. To talk about Tottenham. But
but yeah, Pochettino would be the one for me. I think you could definitely shift him out of PSG.
Yeah.
I think as we've said, he's a project manager. He gets the best out of players as well. Mm. And you saw that at Tottenham to the level he was getting some of those guys they just weren't on the level that he was getting them to play at. you know, I think he can really, really, really develop, you know, the likes of players like Mason Greenwood. You know, we see what a talented player he is. If he's under Solskjaer for another even 2 years, it's harming his development so much.
Yeah.
Because the guy is so talented and he's just not being coached correctly. You see him with these little like half presses every now and then. He doesn't look like he's all there in like the mental side of things, how to read the game. Pochettino would sort that right out.
He's a very good coach as well.
Yeah, I would. I think if I were the Man United board, I would be looking at Pochettino and thinking, yeah, we, at the end of the day, they are Manchester United. Like, they can get a manager out of his contract if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think Pochettino is probably the one that it makes the most sense and probably would be the best fit.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Adam. I think Pochettino is a great shout, but either of those managers would be very good. But I'm with you, Adam. I'd like Ten Hag to hold out Ajax.
Just stay where he is.
I do think that he'd be a very good shout for Liverpool in the future. But that's something I don't want to think about for another few years. I just can't imagine a world where Jürgen Klopp is not our manager anymore. I think that's something that would be quite upsetting for me. But speaking of people leaving Liverpool, quickly want to touch on Michael Edwards, obviously announcing that he's going at the end of the season. Is the end of the season a big move for Liverpool? Well, big transfer for Liverpool, that, because we all know how good Michael Edwards is in his role, and his assistant Julian Ward will be taken over. But Adam, I'll come to you with this. There's talk of Edwards going to Newcastle and stuff like that. But you know, how big of a blow do you think this is for Liverpool?
Potentially huge. We've seen Edwards do some crazy things with transfers over the years. You know, getting to 20 mil for Solanke, like 15 mil for Joel Ward, 24 mil for Brewster, like the list goes on and on and on. And then bringing players like Mohamed Salah in for like 37 million, something like that, with Sadio Mane like 35. You know, this guy is... I don't know what business school he went to, but people should that guy now. It's crazy, the deals that he's got done. And you just hope that Ward, under, because I think he's been his assistant the entire time.
He's been his assistant the whole time, yeah, I believe so.
So you would hope that he's picked up enough just from being around Edwards and watching how he does these deals to sort of continue this on. Now, you'd hope that also with Liverpool, in terms of the ownership and the board, they've made a lot of mistakes. I'm aware that they have. But the club is also run very well. I don't think we'd let somebody like Michael Edwards go if we weren't 100% sure that sort of gap was being filled correctly. So there must be a lot of trust and there must be a lot of faith in Ward to sort of step up and do the role. Obviously from Jürgen Klopp as well, because I think... If they were just sort of leaving Klopp in the shitter like that and just sort of being like, you know, Edwards is going to go, we're going to let Edwards go in, and you're going to have no good director of football, Klopp's obviously not going to be happy. He's not really the kind of guy to just sit and let that happen.
Yeah.
So I do think maybe, again, this could be bias, it could be me just being hopeful. I do think it will be a smooth transition and we hopefully won't see too much in terms of a difference when it comes to transfers. My only hope is that before he does walk out the door, the Mohamed Salah contract gets sorted.
Because
as they take on, I'm getting more and more nervous around that situation.
Yeah, the day's ticking down until, I think it's 2 years now until Salah's contract runs out. It's a nervous prospect. Then it's something that no Liverpool fan wants to see. And I might even imagine Billy as a Villa fan doesn't want to see Mohamed Salah leave Liverpool and go somewhere else.
Unless it's to Villa.
Unless it's to Villa. Yeah. But no, I hope that...
Stevie G, Mo?
maybe Billy, maybe one day.
But when he's 40,
yeah. I was just gonna say actually
yeah, when he's on the brink of retirement, he'll still score 30 goals. Adam, I agree with you though. I don't think Liverpool would let Edwards go if we didn't have a plan in place to replace him. The board have, like you said, have made some errors, but in terms of managerial or, you know, staff errors. They haven't really done anything wrong in that sense.
It's a very well-oiled machine.
It's a very well-oiled machine. And like you said, Adam, as well, Jurgen Klopp would not stand for any bullshit around, you know, messing with him or the side. But, you know, hopefully Julian Ward has definitely picked up some tips from Michael Edwards. Hopefully Edwards will keep giving him his tip book to sort him out and help him out. But lads, that's probably about all we've got time for today. We've managed to drag 40 minutes out of three managerial decisions. So I'm quite proud of us. I think we've done a very good job. Adam, Billy, thank you both for joining me. It's been good to be back podcasting with you lads. And thank you everyone for listening. And don't forget, if you do want to donate to Movember, head on over to our website, totalscreamers.com, or find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all on there and we're all doing some good things for Movember and raising some really good money. So if you'd like to donate, please do. Thank you all for listening and cheery bye.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.